It's Friday night, which means it's time for another episode of the Friday Night Nicktoons podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Casey. Last time we did a Cat Scratch special, we had an episode featuring Waffle, Gordon, and Mr. Blake from the beginning, middle, and end of that wonderful Nicktoon.
We also put out our weekly Twitter poll asking which cat you'd rather share your root beer with. Waffle won with 45% of the vote, no surprise. Gordon got 29%, and Mr. Blake got 26%.
Yeah, so I would say the order of this is actually about what I expected, but I didn't expect the degree of it, specifically Mr. Blake getting a quarter of the vote, surprised me, because he's just so unlikable.
Yeah, honestly, I thought this was a pretty more even split, I guess. It seems like people are more evenly split between the three Cat Scratch cats than I would have imagined.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they're all... I don't even know, actually, if I could say Mr. Blick is likable, but as a character, kind of. He plays a good part.
No, I might have been too harsh, but I wouldn't really be inclined to share my root beer with him. I feel like he'd be most likely to, like, steal it from me, you know?
Yeah, I actually went with Gordon. I felt like Gordon would be a good pal. He'd tell me a good story, you know?
Sure.
Like, we'd sit, we'd drink a root beer, and he would be, like, a storyteller. Waffle would just go off the walls.
Very
I feel like
true.
Giving him sugar is the wrong choice.
Now I'm regretting you just convinced me. I voted for Waffle, and now I'm like, man, that would be awesome to have in, like, a pub-style type setting and you order root beer with Gordon.
Yeah,
that sounds,
that's what I was
that
thinking.
That sounds All like right. the life. All right, well, this week we have episodes from Allison at Allie the Writer, who came up with the concept and all these episodes. The concept is Dear Diary, and we have three episodes from Cat Dog, Rockwood's Modern Life, and Fairly Odd Parents.
Also, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at FNN_podcast and Facebook, facebook.com/FNNpodcast, and review us on iTunes so others can find the podcast. Thanks a bunch of you guys who have left reviews since we made this announcement last week. We really appreciate it. Love hearing the feedback. Love hearing that people are into our show.
Totally. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Now let's get started.
From the Nicktoon Animation Studio in Hollywood. Hollywood.
Our first episode is from Cat Dog. It's entitled Curiosity Almost Killed the Cat. It's from season 1, 16B, and aired October 23rd, 1998.
And in this one, Dog starts writing in a diary after he sees Cat writing in his own. But Cat breaks the iconic don't read other people's diary rule, wanting to know what Dog wrote about him, prompting Winslow to blackmail him. This is a wacky little episode, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like, at least on the show, it's the most we've seen of Winston. Is that accurate?
So far, yeah, certainly. He's made little cameos, but not a ton. Like, he was definitely in the silent episode.
Yeah, like, he's been around a couple of times, but he hasn't been prominent, you know?
Yeah, he's great. I really like him. I like the side of him we got to see in this little scheming little guy.
Yeah. So, I also think it's interesting, and I'm curious... We looked it up. Because as I said, at first I was curious whether or not they want him to be here, or if he's supposed to be like a mouse that just kind of lives in their house and they deal. But then we found out that he actually found them, right?
Well, the quote that I pulled is really cute. He is a mouse who found Cat Dog as a baby, and, oh, that's so funny. I thought it was the opposite. It says he's a mouse who found Cat Dog as a baby and took care of them ever since. I read that initially as Cat Dog took him in, but he's like a parental figure for them.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff there.
That's adorable. And that actually makes more sense with the dynamic. I was like, wait a minute, why would Winslow be blackmailing like what are essentially his parents? But it makes more sense that he took Cat Dog in.
Yeah, it does. And, he's, to be fair, Cat is kind of being garbage.
Yes.
Can we agree on that? Like, first off, he's writing in his diary and he's writing his secrets and he wants to be secretive about that, and that's fair. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then, after telling Dog off and saying, like, don't read my diary, Dog goes and makes his own diary. And seconds later, Kat goes to read it. Like, literal seconds. No willpower whatsoever.
Yeah, he is pretty shameless, and we'll see that as a common theme in these episodes. That, you know, especially when the protagonist thinks that the person with the diary wrote about them. It's so hard not to look.
Yeah, and I don't think this is the juiciest diary by any means. When he reads it, it's mostly just like, Kat is a really great guy.
It's like, so it's cute. It's so rudimentary, and like, there are pictures, letters are backwards. The dog, even when he starts writing his diary, he goes, "How do you spell Kat?" And that makes Kat think, what is he writing about him? But the fact that dog doesn't know how to spell Kat is pretty great.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And just the whole thing. I mean, plot-wise, not a whole lot else happens. Basically, Winslow just keeps making Kat do terrible things for him, right?
And showing him the tape. His
feet, which is gross.
Yeah, that was nasty. I don't know, this episode, I was thoroughly entertained by probably my favorite cat scratch was, or cat dog was definitely the silent one, but this one's up there. And the logic that I didn't quite get was, I don't see why Kat cares so much. He never seems to really care what dog thinks of him. Dog is more an annoyance that he's stuck with. So why would, you know, Winslow be able to even blackmail him, let alone him even feel bad about it?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mixture of, he doesn't want to seem like a hypocrite, and I think here he actually does genuinely care about dog more than we would think.
Yeah, that's true. We do. Maybe we're just seeing a more sensitive side of him, and he does have
this
total breakdown. Yeah.
Which kind of made me stop and think, like, you know what, maybe it's, you know, bigger deal to him than I thought.
Right, yeah.
It's hard to say, though. It's hard to say how much he cares about Doc.
Right, but my favorite part of this episode
is, and how much he's just kind of stuck with him.
My favorite part of this episode is actually Dog's diary itself. The first sentence he wrote is, "Hello, diary. My name is Dog, and I live with my best friend, Kat." Like, he thinks he has to explain information to his diary, which is great. When he wakes up in the morning, it goes, "Dear diary, I am now waking up." He just does not get what diaries are supposed to be.
Yeah, it's really cute, though, honestly. Dog is such an endearing, lovable kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different kind of dumb than, like, Patrick, who's, I mean, like, lovable in his own right, but not in the same way. Dog is just so harmless.
Yes, exactly. You can't help but
cheer for him.
Exactly. So, yeah, and making it more about Kat's pride makes sense, too, that it's like Kat needs to be better. He needs to be this sort of moral bastion, and so if he wrongs Dog, he sort of loses his sense of superiority over him. I think that could be a part of the dynamic.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, also, you know, I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's both that he doesn't want to not have this moral high ground. I think he does care a little bit more about Dog than we sometimes see.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's hard to say. I will say, though, that Winslow, in all of his madness, has some crazy requests. And then he also has this huge family, right? Uh-huh. Like, they open the door and there's, like, an entire family. It's like, they all want their feet flossed, too. And I don't know where I was going with this. I was kind of thinking, I realized cat dog is like the only naked animal in this show.
That's true. Like, they all wear mice, clothes.
All of them are fully clothed.
They have like spiffy little outfits. Yeah. Although Kat gets dressed up as a butler when he goes to do his servitude to Winslow. And Dog even writes about
it. On occasion. You
know? Yeah, right. Exactly. Or when they're waiters, they dress up.
Yeah. Like I said, they dress on occasion, but they are the vast majority of the time unclothed, which
that's true.
Is sometimes just how it goes in shows, but they're the only one.
Yeah.
I guess there's nothing to cover up? I don't know, man.
Yeah, how does, yeah, the anatomy of cat dog is certainly the subject of much discussion. Someone should do, like, a dissertation on it and finally pin down how that all works. That's about all I've got. I've just really got one more comment. I love in the music, I didn't really notice it till this time around, but in the music of all this show, there's this sort of bluegrassy, like, spring sound effect under everything. It's like this bonk, 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 bonk. And it's just so bouncy and fun. I just love the music to this show so much.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't think I've got anything else to add. Do you want to move on to Fairly Odd Parents?
Let's do it. All right, our second episode is from The Fairly Odd Parents. It's called A Bad Case of Diarrhea. It's from Season 4, Episode 6B, and this one aired on June 1st, 2004.
This one with quite an interesting title there. Timmy, via truth serum, ends up giving up all of his deepest, darkest secrets to Vicky, and in order to spite her, decides to read her diary. And then proceeds to spend his time making sure that the guy that she's crushing on doesn't like her back. I forget what his name is, but
that's... Yeah, not really important.
He's British, and that's really, that's his thing. That's his thing in this episode. And
he loves the hunt.
Yes. All Brits, apparently.
For everything reminds him of the hump. The hump.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Everything reminds him of the hunt. Yeah, Freudian slip. You know, thinking about these, you know, acne-covered British cartoons just get me all hot and bothered.
Goodness. But, yeah, everything reminds him of the hunt, and he likes everything that reminds him of the hunt, and it's weird. It's weird, but that's...
Yeah.
I don't know. Overall, I'd say this... I'll start out and just say this is definitely my least favorite of the three we're going to talk about today. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I will say that as well.
It's very okay. It's got its moments, but I don't know. I think honestly one of my favorite moments of the whole thing is that Wanda starts out and is like, well, Wanda and Cosmo are at first on the same side because Cosmo has a diary and Wanda's like, you know, Timmy, he has a point. It is kind of wrong to read through somebody's personal diary. And then Timmy's reading it, and he's like, I saw two squirrels today. The green squirrel looked cute, but the pink squirrel was fat. And Wanda just, like, loses it. It's great. It's great. And then she basically goes full-on rampage mode and decides that Vicky deserves every terrible thing that can happen to her.
Yep, and it's that classic Fairly Odd Parents thing of, like, they say things for the sake of the joke and it somehow works. Like, Timmy mentions something about, like, that, it's that fat pink squirrel you don't like. And Vicky's like, how do you know I don't like that pink squirrel? Because he's read her diary.
Internet? I'm pretty sure he throws that one out there, too.
Yeah. The classic. Yeah, yeah, she's like, how did you know? He goes, internet? Yeah, exactly. But it's like, why would she go out of her way to comment on this squirrel in her diary? It makes no sense except for the joke, and it totally works. So many shows can't get away with logic like that, but Fairly Odd Parents does.
Oh, they're all about the crazy logic. That's their life, man. And it's great. It's everything I ever wanted
exactly,
it to be.
Exactly. I will say that Timmy running away from Vicky at school when Vicky, like, basically makes all of Timmy's worst fears come true at school when she uses the truth serum, he is running away from all the, like, clowns and stuff, and he keeps running into the door over and over again. It's very, like, vaudevillian, very shticky.
Yeah.
And he finally just has this face like, I'm so dumb, and he opens the door, and, like, it's a stupid moment, but it really got me.
Yeah, sometimes it is the stupid humor that ends up shining through, you know? But...
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think, what else happens in this episode? Oh, well, there's this whole thing, basically, where it kind of reminded me, differently, but it kind of reminded me of Mean Girls, when, like, everything they do to sabotage Regina George ends up making her better. Everything they do to Vicky ends up reminding him more of the hunt. Like, she smells like skunk,
yeah,
and then he's
that
like...
She's looks like a werewolf, smells like a skunk, is a cheerleader. Yeah. Or then Cosmo's running away from something, I forget what, but he goes, it reminds me of the hunt, I'm scared of the hunt!
It's actually, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the hunt itself, actually, is what they bring out, because...
Oh, yeah, it's the actual Hunt.
Yes, because Timmy and Wanda get mad at him. I don't remember exactly what he said. I think he writes something in his diary, and then they get mad at him, and then they set the Hunt upon him anyways.
Right, right. Yeah, there's some nice gags in here, and it totally fits the theme. But in terms of Fairly Odd Parents episodes, this one's definitely not a standout for me.
Yeah, no. I mean, like I said, there were some moments. I think I also really enjoyed they had this fun little set of rhymes, because when Vicky goes to be a cheerleader, she they decide to make her tell all of her deepest, darkest secrets, and they do have this fun little rhyme. I don't remember it all, but I just thought it was cute. It's like a cheer where she admits all of the terrible things about herself, and I thought it was kind of cute.
Oh, it was really cute. Yeah, the 2, 4, 6, 8, who, you know, is something, yeah, embarrassing. Something,
or 1, 2, 3, 4, I shoplift from every store.
Yeah. That was the best one. Yes. It's so, like, adult, because that's not really, like, a reputation ruiner. It's just kind of funny, like she's just a bad person.
Yes. Well, I think that's not all I've got, honestly. Anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, me too. No need to drag it out. Yeah, let's move on to our Rocco's episode.
Our third and final episode is from Rocco's Modern Life, entitled The High Five of Doom, from Season 4, Episode 8A, and originally aired July 17th, 1996.
And in this one, Rocco and Heifer suspect that Filbert is an alien after reading what they think is his diary. And this one was by far my favorite episode of the three. The sci-fi references, the jokes, the concept. I adore Filbert as a character. Just loved this episode.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like, and I'm sure I've said this before, I feel like I underestimate the quality of Rocco's Modern Life in general. Like, I forget how clever so much of the humor is, and how good this show is, and this episode just really, it was doing it for me. I think it's one of the more Filbert-centric episodes we've seen, and it's great. It's grade-A stuff.
Well, to be fair, he was the best character on Wacky Deli.
Oh my goodness, Wacky Deli.
I am the cheese.
Sometimes I just want to, like, I don't know, I just want to watch all of my favorite episodes that we've watched all over again, because there's just so many.
Your greatest hits, yeah. Totally. We'll have to do another New Year's countdown thing with our favorites from the year, now that we have a full calendar year. It was hard enough last year with only, what, like 7 months?
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be more different. Yeah, if we have an entire year, right, we should have more room to disagree, and it'll be great.
That's true, although we did take March Madness off of episodes, so it might be a similar pool.
That is true.
But I'm very excited to look back on the year, but that's a long way off. What else we got in here? The misunderstandings of this episode is great. Basically, it just looks sketchier and sketchier the longer they read this diary and the longer they see Heifer, you know, doing the things that are in his diary. It turns out, we'll cut right to the chase, it turns out that the diary is a science fiction novel that Heifer is writing, and he just uses things from his real life in it. However, at the end we get the rug pulled out from under us in a pretty confusing way. If we want to get into that now, we can wait too, I don't know.
You know what, let's just do it, because, man, it is wild. And so we're watching it, and then he comes into the house, and he starts laughing, and he's like, guys, it was just a sci-fi novel, it wasn't real. And then he's like, why don't you guys give me a high five? And so they do, and then they explode, but then we go back, and it's actually them reading the diary and reading about that happening. Right?
Like, oh, I think you're right. I hadn't quite put that together.
I think that's what went down.
So the twist is
confusing.
That he's really an alien?
It's hard to say, is the thing. Like, is it that he's writing what's going to happen? Is it that he's writing a sci-fi novel and he made the ending that he kills his friends? It's unclear.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
But they are very
kind of
scared.
Meta, but in a creative way. It's not like the whole thing was a dream, you know? It's certainly very unique.
Yeah, and it's like I said, I was unsure as to what was going on. And I was like, well, alrighty. That it ends there. I guess let's backtrack into the
Yes. Can we
middle.
talk about the first page of the diary that they read where
Oh my
Rocco and
God.
Heifer are in
Well,
Rocco's living room? He's like, oh, let's just read one page. And they do. And it's like the most tantalizing. There's like nothing on it. It's like, this is, I forget what the wording is exactly, but it's like, and it all starts on page two.
it's basically like I'm an alien from such and such planet, and I'm here to take over the world, and the entire plan starts on.
Yes, and Rocco just puts it down, and was it Heifer who goes, so want to go play a
Let's
game of
go.
badminton? Such a
And they like
funny
leave for
joke.
like 2 seconds. Yes.
Like, how do you
Well, I also
stop
love.
after reading that? And of course they don't. They
Yeah.
immediately go back.
Yes. I also love that. So Heifer's the one that finds the diary in the first place. And then Rocco's like, I'm gonna take this from you because you clearly cannot handle the like the responsibility of having it.
Yes.
And within minutes, Rocco is going in to read the diary, and as soon as he opens it, Heifer just like bursts through the door. It's like, I have to read it.
Yeah, with
It's
like an
just great.
aggressive door slam. I also love Rocco's like, all right, I'll just distract myself. I won't look at the diary. He turns on the TV and it's like a commercial for like a what, a reality?
Celebrities' Private
Yeah.
Lives is the name of the
Yeah,
show.
and the tagline is because there's nothing more fascinating than other people's secrets. He just turns it off. It really reminded me of the I got you this box, so that's what I got you. And the boxing, you know, with Squidward in the
Yes.
magic box episode.
Absolutely. And there's so many good moments. Another one that's kind of unrelated. So they're eating at this chewy chicken restaurant, right?
Yes,
Like that's like this
yes.
place. And then where is it? Or you could tell it if you've got it.
Yeah, they basically it's like a Soylent Green joke. There are lots of hidden sci-fi references. I didn't get a lot of them, but I got this one where they start saying that like Chewy Chicken is people, you know, that they're actually making the chicken out of people. And there are chickens just outside and they go, whew, that's a relief. Oh, really good. Really good stuff. My favorite moment of this is Filbert in the journal describing how humans love high fives and it's their one weakness, and so he can take over the world by like spreading his whatever through high fives, and he's like playing basketball and he goes, "Nice shot. High five." He always says it in this exact same inflection. And then he's at the grocery store and there's this woman, he goes, "Nice melons. High five." It's that
Oh
classic
my God.
Rocco's like scandalous, you know, you're just like, wow, I did not think that was gonna happen. Nice melons, high
High
five.
five. Ah, it's gold. It's gold. Just that entire premise too. So the idea is, I don't know if we even clarified this, is that this particular subset of aliens, if you high five them, you just die. It's the high five of doom. That's just how they function. I don't know. And it's such a funny concept, like just the idea of that high fives are killing people. I loved everything about this episode. I truthfully did.
It was adorable and so funny. And like the low effort explanations are hysterical too at the end. They're
Oh my
like,
God,
wait a
yes.
minute, if it wasn't real, why did this happen? And it's like, well, here's the oddly specific circumstances that led you to think this, you know?
Yeah, it was like, well, then why did you put mustard on? And he's like, why spend money on cologne when mustard is free?
Just the laziest explanation, but it's
Ugh.
so funny.
But it's so good
Oh
'cause
my
you know, usually there's
God.
that sort of tropey thing where it's like, here's the completely rational thing, and you're like, oh. Instead, it's just like, here's something
They refuse
ridiculous.
to give you any satisfying explanation, and that makes it even better. It's kind of like the hash-slinging slasher, where he's like, so why did the phone keep ringing? He's like, oh, I was calling about a job, but I got nervous. You know, those were. It's kind of like that, but with even less logic.
Yes, it
Why
was.
spend money on cologne when mustard is free? It also isn't free. Unless he's just like getting mustard packets from Chewy Chicken, you know?
Guess, yeah, but that's still. Oh, it's too much.
Oh my god. This was an incredible episode.
I think that covers everything, but seriously, such a good one. Thank you so much, Allie, for recommending all of them, but especially this one.
Thank you for bringing this into our lives, Allison, because, man, I'm going to be reeling for days.
All right, I think we're good for trivia.
I think so, too. Let's see if I can keep that comeback happening. Alright, it's time for another round of Nick Trivia. The current score is 8-10. So Ashley, why don't you hit me with it?
Yeah, I'm slowly losing my lead, so I'm hoping to be able to gain some ground back. Let's see what happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mine for you is pretty simple. Just, what's the name of Rocco's dog?
Oh.
Is it Scruffy, Spunky, Sparky, or Sporty?
Okay. Well, I don't think it's Scruffy, because I would have remembered that from the Futurama character. It might be Scruffy. I can totally hear that in Rocco's accent. I don't think it was Sporty. What were the other two? Spunky and Spotty?
Sparky.
Sparky and Spunky.
Yes.
All right. I think I'm going to go with Sparky, final answer.
Wrong! Wrong! Wrong!
That is incorrect. It's Spunky.
Oh, man. I'm
not sure how much it's mentioned, but I figured it's probably come up somewhere. I'm sure he said it, so I figured it was fair game. And, I mean, it's the name of a character, right? So.
Right. Okay, well, that's fine. We mark time for a week, and hopefully you get this one wrong, because it's very similar to a question that you got wrong way back in Season 2. So, as previously discussed, Snap from Chalk Zone has a Bronx accent.
What
borough of New York City is Winslow's accent from? And it's the five except Manhattan. So Staten Island, Bronx, Queens, or Brooklyn. And you've got a little, I guess not a hint, but like, think of Chalk Zone's accent and think of Winslow's, and you can be like, are they the same or are they not, you know?
God, here's the thing. Like, I don't even remember what Chalk Zone's was. I just remember that I got it wrong.
I told you it was the Bronx.
Oh, it was?
For Snap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that.
That was in the question. Yeah, no worries.
I'm paying that much attention because I cared this much.
And it very well might be the same. I'm not trying to, like.
No, I hear you.
I'm just saying, like, you at least have something to jump off of.
I feel like. So, wait, what are my options again? It's
Staten Island, Bronx, Queens, or Brooklyn?
I feel like he sounds different from Snap. I don't know. I'm gonna go Brooklyn. Final answer.
Correct!
That is correct.
Nice.
Well done.
Glad I didn't make the same failure.
The poisonable and all the R's to O's is very much a Brooklyn thing.
Good. Okay, I thought so, but again, I didn't know the last one. Which, I guess, to be fair, I feel like Brooklyn accent is brought up more often than a Bronx accent is.
Yeah, Brooklyn is the most famous, is like the typical New York one that people think of.
Beautiful.
It's like Bernie Sanders.
Well, I'm making the lead back, guys. I'm going to win Season 3. It's going to happen.
The clock is ticking. And since we missed last week, that gives us... Maybe that's why you took a job that involves traveling and bad Wi-Fi, so that we'd have to miss some weeks and it would disadvantage me in trivia.
It was specifically once I took the lead, I was like, guys, please send me to hotels with the worst Wi-Fi you can find. That's what I've been doing. Oh, goodness. And I was on the West Coast, so times would be difficult to schedule with Casey on his East Coast. Please. And they did it.
That's hilarious. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, we still have 6 more weeks.
Yeah, you
totally
can still...
enough.
You can still make it back. It's not unheard of. Totally could happen.
But you could theoretically win by winning the next 2 in a row and I get them wrong. You would clinch.
Oh, I'm going to clinch. I'm going to clinch so
hard. Which would be a very early clinch.
It would be pretty embarrassing for you, to be fair. Nah, honestly, yeah, I've gotten lucky. I'll be real here. I've gotten lucky on quite a few, and Casey, I feel like, is always being super logical and gets it down to two and picks the wrong one.
Oh, that did happen today, didn't it? I was, like, between Spunky and...
And Sparky, and you're like, Sparky. I'm gonna go with Sparky. Rough.
Yeah, rough. That's funny. Well, you know, sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles. Shall we move on to our conclusion?
Let's do it. Alright guys, our fun fact for this week is Rocko's Modern Life themed. Filbert from Rocko's Modern Life and Plankton from SpongeBob are the same voice actor. It's Douglas Lawrence Ozowski, credited as Mr. Lawrence. I know we throw up these facts a lot, but I just always find them so fascinating, and I'm always so impressed with voice actors' abilities.
Yeah, that's amazing. They sound nothing alike. Now I'm picturing like Plankton. An... Nice melons! However you say that. I need my dad to do it. He does a good Plankton impression. High five.
Yeah, he does. I've heard it. I have. Anyways.
All right. Our Twitter poll for this week is, whose diary would you sneak a peek at? Dog from Cat Dog, Filbert from Rocko's, or Vicky from Fairly Odd Parents? The three main diaries of these three episodes.
Yeah, I think there's potential juicy secrets in any of them, so who knows? Who knows? All right, next week we are going to be discussing the final Hey Arnold episodes. We're going to kind of figure out which ones are the best for leading up into the Jungle movie. So I know for sure there's like the journal episode, which I think is like a longer one. Mm-hmm. We'll look into it and see exactly how we want to do it, but just to give us some more context into what the Jungle movie is about, why it's so exciting, why it's so important, and yeah, really looking forward to it. I do know, obviously, next week is when the movie's coming out, but we figured it's going to be a pretty short turnaround, especially with Thanksgiving and everything, so in order for us to be able to, you know, have time to process the movie and really watch it and get all of our thoughts together, it makes more sense for us to push it back a week.
And we want you guys to have seen it when you listen to our Jungle Book, our Jungle Movie discussion, which will be on December 1st. So we'll have a week, a little more than a week to watch it before we do that discussion. So don't worry, we will have all of our juicy hot takes. This is really the first major piece of media from classic Nicktoons that has come out during our podcast, because rarely do we discuss something that just came out, you know?
Yeah, and
so that'll be really fun.
With us trying to sort of stick to the 90s, I think this is 90s, early 2000s, but I think this is basically valid because it's made specifically targeted for, I believe, viewers of the 90s and early 2000s Nicktoons.
You know, like 100%.
This is for people who have seen Hey Arnold and have been waiting for this. So,
and I imagine that in the coming year or two, we'll cover the third SpongeBob movie, the new Rocko's movie, and the new Invader Zim special, whatever that is. So there's lots of new, old Nicktoon content coming, because we just live in an era where everyone wants everything regurgitated, and I'm not necessarily complaining, but reboot culture is out in full force, and we are getting some Nicktoons. And there are rumors that I've been seeing on Nick Twitter in general, not like official Nick Twitter, but like the community, that if this Jungle movie premiere goes well, they might make another season, but I could also see someone just making that up. So I don't want to spread that, but I just want to say I have seen that. I have no source to back it up, but maybe, just maybe, they'll do another Hey Arnold season if this movie goes well.
Fingers crossed for that.
Totally. All right, well, also one last plug for our social media. Follow us on Twitter at FNN_podcast. Facebook.com/FNN podcast, and give us a review on iTunes. I guess it's now called Apple Podcasts. I should probably call it that. Give us more reviews there, because they've been coming in and more people are going to find the show and be able to participate and come up with great concepts like Allison did today for Dear Diary. So thank you, Allison, so much for your idea. We definitely want to use another one of yours soon, because we are starting to run dry and yours are great. So yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I do want to throw out there, don't be worried, guys. We have enough content to cover. I'm not too worried. We will be sticking around with our 90s and 2000s. We got plenty of content. But
oh, yeah.
Sometimes your ideas are a little fresher than ours. So.
Right, and sometimes we just get lazy. And so when we have lists of great episodes, we might just start pulling from that. So.
All right. Well, thanks again so much, you guys, for listening, and we'll see you next week.